gon' get it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' get it and you gon' feel it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' feel it and you gon' get it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' get it and you gon' feel it.
Here comes the, here comes the, here comes the.
Y'all don't really want it like.
Here comes the.
Sports fans, NFL fans, welcome to This Week in the NFL. Here we are, baby, week 15 coming up of the NFL season. Bananas, bananas, bananas. It has been a crazy time, crazy week last week. We're happy to join you this week. We're recording here on a Friday at 4:18 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, buried in a foot of snow, and just really looking forward to some quality football after last night's game. I'm joined by the normal crew, the four-man booth that you know and love. We're going to go youngest to oldest this time. So first and foremost, Arizona Cardinal super fan flying high this week. He's going to have some pointed words for one of our other co-hosts, Mr. Ryder. How you doing, Ryder?
Good.
You feeling good after that win?
Yes.
That was even more of a blowout than what you predicted, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You thinking playoffs?
Maybe.
You thinking Super Bowl?
No.
All right. Next up, the man in the middle, my co-host since day one, Mr. John D'Amato, not feeling as good this week as Ryder, as the Giants came out and laid a little bit of an egg. A little bit of an egg. How you doing, John?
Yeah, hanging in there. I got the big red on for in honor of a Ryder. I respect that ass whipping. Had the Monday blues after that one, but I got cheered up. There was a nice Christmas card in the mail from Senior, so that makes you think that friends and family are more important than the game. But not for this next hour. And you know, NFL is the most important for this next hour. But it's good to have friends and family during the season to get you through tough times.
Oh, that was nice of you, Senior.
I'm there for my man, Johnny. You know
you're gonna
that.
You're gonna send me one, too, or just John? Did you get yours, Ryder? Man!
I'm sure one arrived at both of your houses. You guys just don't look in the mail.
Just kidding. I'm just...
Ask Katie. Ask your mom, Ryder.
Just kidding around, guys.
That's the postal service really messing up and getting them farther away before they deliver the close ones.
Wouldn't be a shock. no worries, John. I'm not a Christmas card guy, but Merry Christmas to you. We'll just get it out of the way now.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, I used to, but times are tough these days.
I no longer have to support the post office because my dad doesn't work there anymore. So, last but not least, we've already heard from him, our elder statesman. You know, I guess the positive here is we don't have to discuss the Patriots game last week because we recorded on Friday, so we've already gone through that pain. But there was a certain result this week that went a little contrary to the narrative that my older co-host here has been trumpeting. So before I pass it over to you, Senior, I got two words for you. And it's not D-Generation X, what they would say. It's the Bears! Senior, yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I got to eat a little crow there. The used to be 1-5 Bears. Finally got a W and made it to 6-7. And in all honesty, they played a more than impressive game. They played a great game. And when you look at this week's schedule, who would have thought that really one of the games with some implications is the Bears and the Vikings, where one of the teams is going to keep their slim playoff, not so slim, really. They're both only one game out of the playoffs in the NFC. So one team keeps their hopes alive, one doesn't. It's one of our feature games. the Bears. And another thing that I've been kind of critical of all year, the NFC least had a pretty good week, other than poor John's G-men. But, you know, the rest of the division did some incredible things. You know, we went from Johnny Boy's team being the team that wins to them being the lone team that loses. It was kind of a turnaround for 1 week. So I think, John, that this is just like a Twilight Zone week that happened with both of those things happening at once. And we're going to get back to reality soon. But anyway, great to be here. It's going to be an awesome weekend where we got two Saturday games, full slate Sunday, Monday night, football extravaganza weekend. Great. We got a lot of good stuff to talk about.
Yeah, and the Monday night game is one that's not going to be a good one to talk about. We'll probably just touch on it very quickly. But yeah, no, great weekend. We had a lot of points yesterday in the Chargers Raiders game. The Raiders somehow found a way to lose to a team that, you know, all they do is give away big close games. They really tried to give this one away, but the Raiders just couldn't grasp it. So, Senior, you said it's a mirage. Was that the word you used for the Bears and the NFC East?
I called it the Twilight Zone weekend, where, you know, I don't know, a broken clock is right twice a day, you know? It's just one of those weekends where the strange happened. The Bears in a blowout. I mean, a total blowout where their defense and their offense really performed. And I know the offense has been better. Maybe if they never pulled Nick Foles and put him in the starting role, maybe they'd be in the playoff position right now. One more win, right? You would think. I mean, Trubisky is Mitch has played well since he's come back. Got to give it to him. And maybe the guys on the defense were listening to the show, and maybe we fired them up. As I said, they were laying down for 2 weeks after playing great all year because they were disgusted with the offense. Then the offense gets them a quick touchdown right out of the chute, and they decided to play. But I don't think they're turning it around.
I think if they listened to the show, Senior, you might have heard on Twitter from like Roquan Smith or somebody like that, you know, asking for your address. But so I thought we can start real quick with the Bears. I mean, you talked a little about it, but it's a statement win right there. It's a statement win. David Montgomery, who looked like he was running in cement for a year and a half, all of a sudden has been really, really good 3 games in a row, and that has opened up the whole offense. If you can run the ball, well then, hey, Mitch, if he's single coverage, Allen Robinson, a great receiver. Mitch has been playing well. He can do some stuff with his legs. Just going to say, guys, you know what year I graduated from high school? Did any of you guys remember, senior?
Go ahead.
It was 97.
Yeah,
keep
I don't see that
number
happening.
In your mind, Bears fans. 97.
Let's not get carried away now. Let's not get all giddy. They won one game.
So I think the march to 9-7 starts this week. We have Bears, Vikings. It really is pretty much a loser. It is, I mean, not even pretty much. It's a loser goes home kind of matchup. So, in essence, a playoff game. You've got a Vikings team coming off a, you know, pretty poor performance against the Bucs, kind of shut down by a Buccaneers defense that had not performed that well recently. So, John, do you think the Bears can go to Minnesota and win this game?
They can. They definitely can. I mean, the Bears fans, they were all dying to dive on Mitch Trubisky. They love blaming him for everything. And this was their prime opportunity to lose to the Texans. And they say, oh, of course, because we took Trubisky instead of Watson and Mahomes. But what happened? Trubisky badly outplayed him. And they're 4-2 under with Trubisky starting. And one of those games, he put up like 30 points, you know, versus the Lions. you know, their fans, of course, they'll point to the last turnover and they'll blame the whole game on him. But he's been serviceable. I'm not saying that he's better than Mahomes and Watson, and they should redo that. But it hasn't been all that. But with that, I like the Vikings. I think it's gonna be a tough game, and it's gonna be a close one, and they're gonna hang close. But I give the Vikings the edge, and to pull out a close one. But to your point, Roger, they finish off with Jacksonville and Green Bay, who'll probably have stuff wrapped up already, and you know, be playing second stringers. So if they do manage to upset the Vikings here, they can. That 9-7 is very realistic.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, especially if the Chiefs beat the Saints, which is very possible, right? Green Bay is then not even – Green Bay could have the number – would have the number one seed sewn up for
and
the
last game.
And they
won't be playing for anything,
And you no way they're going to play – I mean, especially a team that's top-heavy like Green Bay, they're going to not play Rodgers and Adams and those guys the whole game, because if something happened, they would be screwed. Yeah. Plus – I mean, the fact is, I mean, would Green Bay not want the Bears in the playoffs, considering how much they've owned them? If anything, the fact that they could potentially play them again in the playoffs would be a reason to lose to them.
And if they do get to that 9-7, the Cardinals got Philly this week, San Francisco, and the Rams, who they struggle with. So they could slip one or two, and depending on how the tiebreaker shakes out. I don't believe that they don't play each other this year, the Bears and Arizona. So. We'll see how the tiebreaker breaks out, but it could be both 9-7, sure.
But that in the Philly game, what was looking like an easy game now is not because of Philly finally making the move.
Yeah, we'll get to that. I think it'll still be an easy game for the Cardinals. We'll get to that.
I love it, John. I love.
I'm not on the Hurts bandwagon. That was a one game on one day.
So. Very good. So I like the Bears in this game, and I'll tell you why. I think it's almost a carbon copy of the previous game. The Minnesota defense just isn't very good. And I think Mitch is hot. I think the Bears offense is hot. I think they're going to come in and score some points. And you saw it last week, and I mean, Senior said it's because they listened to the show, and it's obviously not because they listened to the show, but the Bears defense, when they got some, when the offense put up some points, it was like Christmas morning. I mean, they're so used to having to completely carry the team that when they got a lead and they were able to kind of pin their ears back, I mean, they played great, and I expect more of the same this week. Minnesota, everything depends on the run. Which you saw last week, they kept run against Tampa Bay. And I know Cook had a decent game, but that's not how you beat Tampa Bay. In Chicago, you know, if you're kind of one-dimensional like that, they can stop the run. So I like the Bears, and I like them by a comfortable margin, 10.
I'm just going to say, I'll just talk in generalities. The Vikings are 6-7, 7-7, because their defense is bad. They've got some very good skilled players on offense, both running the ball and obviously Cook and the receivers are great, you know. And Cousins is a decent quarterback. So that's what they are. They're like a 500 kind of team. And that's what they're going to be after this week. They're going to be 500. And the Bears, well, the Bears have lost 6 out of 7. And that's kind of who they are. That's what they are, and they're not going to win 2 games in a row. Heck, we just went through this fantasy. I'm listening to you guys for 5 minutes, coming up with all these things that could happen in the playoff picture if they go 9-7. Come on, that's outrageous. I'm not even chalking up the win against Jacksonville. You gotta be kidding me. Them in Jacksonville, that's going to be a barn burner. So the Bears go back to reality this week, and I'll be smiling next week.
Yeah, but seeing that, I mean, the Vikings needed overtime to beat Jacksonville, so the Vikings aren't exactly a juggernaut here. That's why I'm saying it's not out of the question. I'm leaning towards Vikings, but only by a field goal or so. This is a toss-up. They're both floor teams, but the floor teams, I mean, the Vikings started 1-5, and the Bears are in the past five games, you know, are 1-5 in the past five games. So one was hot early, and one was cold early, so it's a toss-up to me.
Yeah, I think the Bears were 5-1 by accident.
Uncle Mo, Uncle Mo, momentum is on the Bears' side.
Yeah, the big one-game winning streak.
I mean, it was an emphatic win, though. I mean, it was not.
But it was Houston. Come
that's
on,
what makes me feel like it's fluky. That's what makes me feel like it's fluky. I mean, come on, where did this come from? You know, if that was them, where the hell have they been for 6 weeks?
But it was Houston. The Texans are down to nobody at receiver. Yeah. Chad Hansen is their number two wide receiver because of of injuries and suspensions.
Yeah, so Texans it was really the 36. They hung 36 on him. I mean, that's a good performance. It's a good performance.
Just remember,
we'll see, guys. We don't. I mean, we were just going to go back and forth. Senior's never going to give.
One fluke. That's what it was.
The Bears will be in the friggin' Super Bowl, and you'll still be, this is a 2-14 team.
You watched San Diego, Oakland last night, right? San Diego's not that bad of a team. I mean, their record isn't good, but they're not awful.
It's Los Angeles.
And our guys, our Pat's certainly on a good team this year. I mean, we beat them 45-0. That was a fluke. Those things happen sometimes. Things snowball. Crazy things happen. We're really not 45 points better than them. This was a fluke.
All right. And props to Senior for calling the game San Diego Oakland.
He was looking at Gruden's hat. Gruden had the Oakland hat on.
I'll get used to the Vegas thing eventually.
Next up, guy. Well, it's not San Diego either.
I said Vegas. I said I'll get used to Vegas eventually. Oh, right. That's the Raiders.
You called the Chargers.
L.A., Vegas, I know. I'm an old guy, you know?
Yeah, it's all good. I do that stuff all the time. So, as much as we would love to dedicate the whole show to the Bears, I think we should talk about some other stuff. So, Ryder has been chomping at the bit here. We were watching the game last week, so it was a Cardinals-Giants, really a coin flip game. We had, you know, a lot of people picking the Giants, a lot of people picking the Cardinals. We strapped in. It's the most nervous I've seen Ryder for a football game ever because the season was on the line. And boy, did the Cardinals come out and play a good game they really needed, right?
Yes.
What were you most impressed with?
The defense.
The defense really, really showed up. And, I mean, even John, as a Giants fan, but a guy who appreciates defense, had to appreciate that the Cardinals came out and played a good game defensively. And I'll tell you, my own analysis as an impartial observer is the Giants and the Patriots are not all that dissimilar in that the Giants, like, are not the kind of team that wants to play from behind. And once they get down, it's trouble. And that's kind of what happened. If they have to get away from that running game, it's just problems for them. The Cardinals kind of jumped out on them. And big win for the Cardinals really allowed them to keep their playoff hopes alive. And for the Giants, it's a loss. I think how bad of a loss depends on what happens going forward. If they can, you know, Cleveland's coming into New York. Cleveland looked good, but, I mean, ultimately lost that game. And, I mean, Baltimore scored a ton of points on it. If they can get that win back this week on Sunday Night Football, then not a huge deal. But, you know, it's a game they would have liked to have won. So Ryder, the defense, what about Kyler? What were we saying about Kyler? What did he do in this game that he hasn't been doing as much?
He ran more,
and that's a big key for them, right?
Yeah.
The offense, even though we didn't run for a ton of yards, the threat of that run is huge for them. So do you think that means he's healthy and he's going to start running more going forward?
Yeah, maybe.
I hope so. So who do you – before we'll go to the other guys, but I want to talk to you. We have Philly coming into Arizona. Jalen Hurts seems to have rejuvenated Philly. They get a huge win against New Orleans, the game nobody really thought they could win. They came out and won. I know some of it was the New Orleans offense didn't have a great game. In Arizona, Hurts versus Murray. Who do you got?
Cardinals,
big or close?
Close.
Who has more rushing yards, Hurts or Murray?
What's the difference in the game? Is it DeAndre Hopkins?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too. I like the Cardinals too, Ryder. Great job, buddy. All right, John, let's get your analysis on the Giants game, and then we can talk about the what we have upcoming.
Well, yeah, there's not much to analyze. They reverted. The game was destroyed at the line of scrimmage. The Cardinals defense came out and smoked them. Set the tone right away with that first turnover. And the Giants were swimming in quicksand ever since. They jumped right on them. They even got special teams, you know, some karate kick bullshit, whatever. You can't cry about it. It's just one of those fluke plays. But you just can't turn the ball over. The Cardinals had zero turnovers, and the Giants were turning it all over the place. Jones wasn't healthy. She shouldn't have played. But that's no excuse anyway. The Cardinals dominated. Give props to them. And the Giants just reverted back. They pulled a rock. And nobody, then the whole coaching staff, they couldn't figure out that Hassan Reddick, maybe somebody should block him after like the fourth sack. You know, maybe somebody should try to pick up, you know, whatever he was doing. So it was a bad game all around, and hopefully they bounce back. But unfortunately, it looks like Jones is going to be out there. That's not much of a difference. You made the point after the Seattle game. You said it's not like Aaron Rodgers is hurt when the Giants beat Seattle with Colt McCoy. So it's not much of a step down. So I mean, McCoy could win you a game or two. But unfortunately, it came down to Bradbury, their top cornerback's not going to play. So a lot of stuff is going against the Giants. They're going to have to pick their game back up and get that running game. And like I said, control and try to keep close or get a lead if they want to handle Cleveland. But I don't think it's going to happen.
I think Cleveland's built – in a way that I feel like it's a close game and it's probably a low scoring because they kind of want to do a lot of the same stuff that the Giants want to do. So I think it's just going to come down to probably a close game at the end. And I mean, it's not great with Jones, but whatever quarterback turns it over, the least probably wins. Baker gave one up right against the Ravens. So we'll see.
That was a great play though. That was a great play though. You can't, I mean, I was the shock of that game. The Ravens was the defense that they gave up so many points to the Ravens because Cleveland's defense has been pretty solid all year. So that one Baker turnover. He's been a lot better than he has as far as turning the ball over. That was just a great play. So, but that is the key though, because the Giants can't win if they don't get a couple turnovers like they did, you know, versus Seattle and during their winning streak. Their defense was swarming and reverse the Cardinals. They couldn't do anything to flip the field.
Dimes, really. I mean, especially the way you guys want to play, which is ball control and, you know, kind of take the air out of the ball and keep the score down and rely on defense. He cannot keep turning it over. I mean, it's, yeah. You know, I mean, he's got butterfingers. Like, I mean, it's just like, I feel like he's got the, does he have the most turnovers in the NFL over the last 2 years?
Some ridiculous. But I think it looks like McCoy is going to be in there. It doesn't look like he's going to play. So
no Dimes. Nah. I missed it. See, I need to be like more plugged in.
It's questionable. They're keeping it close to the vest, but it doesn't look good. It looks like it's going to be cold.
Who do you want in there?
If Jones was healthy, I prefer. But right now, for this game, Colt is a better option.
Jones or Trubisky long term. Who has the better career?
That's a toss up. I'll still stick with Jones. Well, if he gets that turnovers under control and works on his accuracy, but they're about even. That's about even. Yeah.
Senior, what were your takeaways? And we got into it a little bit. Talk about Philly, New Orleans, and give us a little Cleveland, Baltimore, Senior, and then we can talk about your picks.
Yeah, well, Philly, New Orleans, you got to say that Jalen gave them a spark, and he played very well. But I also feel like New Orleans had one of those flat games that teams have once in a while. They just seemed flat the whole game. The Eagles were fired up. Hurts sparked them right out of the gate. He was really good with his legs. He had one bad fumble at the end that almost gave New Orleans a chance to get back into the game when he ran the ball, when they were trying to run out the clock and he got it punched out. But other than that, I don't think he's a great passer, but he made some good solid throws. His running ability is very good, and he wants to run. He's very decisive. The pass rush is coming in on him. He didn't screw around. He just pulled it down and ran, which was a total difference for them from watching Wentz, who always looked very indecisive back there, and that was getting to be more and more of a problem. Hurts was making quick, decisive decisions and taking off and running, and against a very good defense, it worked well. So they were sparked. They played a real good game, which sometimes I saw somebody in one of our chat rooms say that, and I felt like if I was Johnny, I'd want to scream. It was like the second quarter, and he said, Hurts has done more in this game already than Daniel Jones did. It's done in his whole career, and as baloney, because if you remember the first game that Daniel Jones started from Eli, how the raves there were about him, how great he played. And
against Tampa. Running
and sparking him. I mean, it was just as good, if not better, than what Hurts did in this game. So you got to pump the brakes a little bit. He played a good game. He gave him a spark. I mean, he's still, you know, you still got to question if he's an NFL passer. And we'll see. And I do think the Saints were flat. The Saints were flat and laid an egg. And they're probably gonna be better. I mean, they're playing the Chiefs this week. It's brutal, but they got Breeze back, so no Michael Thomas. It's gonna be a tough game, but it'll be interesting to see if they shouldn't be flat. That's for sure. They should be fiery. Now on the Giants Browns game, the things you were saying, Cowboy, about wanna do the same things on offense. I agree with that, except the one difference is, with all due respect to the G-men, the Browns have guys that are much more dynamic on offense. I mean, I like the Wayne train and everything, but, you know, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, I mean, you want to run the ball, that's definitely more dynamic. And certainly in the last few weeks especially, I think Baker's playing the best football of his career. He's really playing well, so he can make more plays than with his arm than either of the Giants guys can do. It's going to come down to if the Browns defense plays like crap, like it did against the Ravens, the Giants can beat them. But if the Browns defense steps up and plays a decent game, like they've been playing most of the season, I see it as a really hard game for the Giants to win. And I kind of have to pick Cleveland.
I like the G-men. I like the G-men. Darius, you heard it here first. The guy's been invisible. Darius Slayton gets a couple of long ones. You can beat, as you saw with the Hollywood Brown running with nobody near him on the biggest play of the game. You can beat the Browns deep, and Darius Slayton is a good deep threat. Colt's got to get it to him, but I think he will.
Yeah, the thing is, Colt doesn't get the respect of the defense that Lamar gets, where you're really threatened by his run. Maybe Danny Dimes would get some of that, but Colt doesn't.
It's not just that. I mean, the Cleveland defense has been susceptible to the pass this year. We'll see. I mean, they're underdogs, and the Giants are underdogs for a reason. But
I'd like to see.
I like them in the game. I like them in the game. So you're really trying to get a rise out of John by bringing up the Hurts has already done more than Daniel Jones comment.
Oh, that fired me up because I as soon as I saw it, I'm like, that's bullshit. People have short memories, you know.
You know, and sometimes, as you know, senior, sometimes when you're the fan of a team, you can sometimes overrate or have your judgment a little clouded, or, you know, and maybe that I'm not sure who said it. I think I do know. I think that person's an Eagles fan.
Yeah, I give John a lot of credit, because if I was sitting in there watching that and I'm as big a Giant fan as he is, I might have fired back. Okay, I would have fired back.
See, the thing is, The thing is about defending your players. I mean, I gotta admit that Jones hasn't really been lighting it up, especially, you know, we've been on the, I said on the show, he's cost the Giants you know, a couple games single-handedly. So you don't want to be a homer and just defend the guy just because he wears your uniform. Well, but that was taking it to the limit. Yeah.
His first game was certainly as good, if not better, than Hurts' first game.
Sure, but that's – you got to no-sell that because that's a disgruntled Eagle fan. He's saddled with the worst contract in the history of the NFL now with a backup quarterback making $27 million guaranteed for the next 4 years. He should worry about that instead of – you know, at least Daniel Jones, at least the Giants can run from him if he doesn't work out. But you know, they, at least they didn't sign him. They didn't sign him to 4 years and $600 million or whatever it is. So.
Yeah, good point.
But getting to the this,
Paul George money, as they say.
Yeah, the Saints. It looked like the Saints weren't aware that Hurts has running ability. You know, so some of their defensive schemes were really
weird.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it seemed like they played a lot of man, which you don't want to do against. Yeah.
But I'm not hating on one game. See, to reiterate Senior's points, he got rid of the ball. He was very decisive. In 1 or 2 seconds, he said, "Hey, I'm gonna run," or you know, "There's a guy open. I'm gonna pass, hit him," or "Ooh, there's nothing happening. I'm gonna throw the ball away," or "I'm gonna run out of bounds." He was very, very decisive, which, like Senior said, the complete opposite of Wentz.
He played. I thought he played real well. I mean, yeah, I thought
for a first game And that's one of the great defenses. But I'm just saying, pump the brakes a little. It'll be like a, you know, like a Lamar situation when teams, you know, key on him and get a guy to spy him and stop that run. Let's see how he is if he has to rely on the pass.
But, you know. Yeah, I mean, the other thing he did was, and this happens with a more mobile quarterback sometimes, he really, like Miles Sanders is the best player on their offense. He's a really, really talented kid. And he's just been stuck in mud for weeks and weeks because the offense can't do anything. And I don't know if it's the threat of Hurts' run or having to the defense having to concentrate on a number of different things, but he really got loose for the first time in a while. So that's a heck of a double threat, dual threat in the backfield. And Hurts looked pretty good throwing the ball. It didn't look like, I mean, it's not like a Taysom Hill looks like he's not, you know, who's thrown five passes in 10 years or whatever. You know, Hurts had that, like, it's the touchdown pass he threw to Jeffrey back shoulder was a real nice throw. He saw the one-on-one. To Senior's point, he got rid of it. Sometimes you see the one-on-one, you just got to get rid of it. And this guy made a play. So I think it's a real interesting game. I like the Cardinals, but I think it'll probably be a bit of a shootout, honestly. Like, if it was in Philly in the elements, I would probably pick Philly. But I think the Cardinals are at home, have enough to win by three with their newfound rider. Who's your, other than DeAndre Hopkins and Kyler Murray, who is your new favorite player on the Arizona Cardinals?
The kicker. I forget his name.
Was it Mike Nugent?
The Nuge.
Is that right, Ryder?
Yes.
He hit 4 chip shots. Come on, man. You know.
Hey, after what happened in the NFL this week with kickers.
Was it a recurring theme
or what?
Yeah.
All the way to Badgley last night, it continued. Man, we
should
have gotten
cut 3 weeks ago.
A lot of kicks missed. Extra points. It's all over the place.
If
you got a reliable kicker, that's big.
There you go. You know who doesn't have a reliable kicker, Senior? The Vikings.
Oh, I'm surprised Bailey didn't get cut.
I'm shocked. They could still cut.
They're sticking with him, yeah.
They could announce it Sunday morning, you know. It's crazy that they're putting him back out there. I agree.
That really works in the favor of the Bears, Senior.
They'll just have touchdowns.
That's right. You should have brought that up during the game analysis. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, he was terrible. He was atrocious. You never know if the Bucks would have won that game. I mean, really. Really changes the complexion of the game when you take 10 points off the board.
The real marquee matchup this week, and we've sort of touched on it, but we should probably dive into it, is Kansas City at New Orleans, a game everyone's had circled for a while. Breeze, as Senior alluded to, Breeze is back, but Mike Thomas is not playing. Kansas City is coming in at full strength. In New Orleans, where they're tough to beat there, but you know, with the whole COVID thing, it's not as big of an advantage. Mahomes didn't play for him, didn't play well at all last week. A bunch of turnovers. Credit to Brian Flores' defense there. But I find it hard to not pick the Chiefs in this game. Like, on paper, I think they're just a better team. I think New Orleans, I think with Breeze back, they at least have a shot, because I think their only shot is really going to be to win a shootout, because the New Orleans defense is good, but I don't see them holding the Chiefs under 30. But with Breeze back, and Breeze with his, Kamara will probably have 15 catches in this game with no Michael Thomas. But they have some dynamic playmakers on offense, and they could win a shootout. But I really like the Chiefs. I think it's just kind of a bad matchup for the Saints, just in general. I just don't think they match up real well to the Chiefs. What do you think, Senior?
Yeah, I think this is a game that the Chiefs really get up for, too. I mean, the Chiefs are so good that what you just said was true. Mahomes didn't have a good game. He had the 3 picks after only throwing 2 all season. He threw 3. And yet they still scored over 30 points. I mean, that offense is so, so good. And the defense isn't terrible. You know, I don't see anybody beating them. And I think this is the kind of game that they'll really be more up for. I think they're going to roll New Orleans by 10 to 14 points. They're just so good. So, so, so good. So many answers on that offense, you know. I've been saying, you see all these discussions about who the best wide receiver is in football, and you never hear Tyreek Hill. And really, he might be the best. I mean, he's scary to defend. So you have to pay so much attention to him. And you got guys like Kelce, and you got the other speed guys, Hardman and Sammy Watkins. There's so many answers, but I think Hill, well, obviously Mahomes is the key, but the key to the weapons is Hill. You have to respect him so, so much. I heard Aqib Talib talking about him, saying times he played against him. He said the first time he talked about him having game speed, as opposed to you run this in the 40 and you see numbers and you see a guy in practice, but the game speed he has, he says the first time you see it, you're like in the state of shock. You don't know how to defend this guy. He's so fast. And now Talib would probably have even more trouble, because he's become a very accomplished receiver, too. He's just so good. And Kelce's leading the league in yards receiving. There's just too many answers. You know, they're just too good. How can you get anybody to beat him?
There's a pretty ground for Kelce for NFL Offensive Player of the Year. They do, you know, that's the one that usually doesn't go to a quarterback, right? So Mahomes, I think, is pretty clearly him, the MVP, right? Maybe Aaron Rodgers would be the only other option to me at this point. But yeah, Kelce, you know, the guy you're talking about, Hill, and Kelce's going to win that. I mean, Kelce's far and away the best at his position in the NFL, which is
as great as he is. I think his numbers get inflated because of Tyreek Hill's presence.
Yeah, and Prince probably.
You've got to respect that guy so much. You hear these guys say it's literally scary playing against him. He is so fast. You know, Mahomes will throw it out there. If he gets to the point where he's stride for stride with the deep safety, throw it out there. What is it? Oh, somebody, I think it's Rodney Harrison, says, oh, no, it's not. It's Nate Burleson. It says when, oh, it's a rhyming thing. I'll come up with it. It's when he's even, he's something. But if he's stride for stride, it's like he's 5 yards behind the guy.
He's even, he's leaving.
He's leaving. That's it. And it's true. He gets stride for stride with that last guy, and Mahomes is such a good thrower. He just chucks it. So you got to. And he's going to outrun him. I mean, you got to pay so much attention to him. Like, I'm not taking anything away from Kelce, but he wouldn't have those numbers without Hill's presence.
Hill is the key. Great offense. Yeah. It's a great offense. You know, they have a very good chance to win the Super Bowl this year. It sounds like, Senior, you think they are going to win the Super Bowl.
How can you pick against them? It's really hard, yeah. I mean, any team could lose a game, but when in a playoff, it could happen. I'm not saying it can't happen, but if you are making picks, how can you pick a team to beat them?
They've had a number of close games, senior. I mean, I think it's reasonable.
I know, but they watch this game. I think they'll win this game by more because they're going to be really up for it.
But, you know, you get the Packers. I mean, that would be the marquee game, right? Rodgers versus Mahomes. The Packers are offense is playing just as good as the Chiefs and has been all year. That I think it'd be a great shootout. Yeah, exactly the kind of game John hates.
I would pick the Chiefs. I mean, you got to. I don't know. Maybe I'm overrating them. I don't think so, though. I just think they're that good.
All right, so I like the Chiefs this week as well. John, do you the clean sweep on that one?
No, sir. I'm going to roll with the Saints.
I like it. There you go.
It hasn't been touched on, but the Saints defense has been that Philly game was just a rock they pulled. And even so, they gave up 24 points. It wasn't like they gave up, you know, 30 or 40 or something. So their defense has really stepped up when Breeze went out. And especially going back to remember, we all picked Tampa Bay. We thought it was going to roll on them. But what happened? 38-3. They put up a three burger. So I think the defense is going to step up again. And the offense is going to get a little sparked. I don't like Thomas's out, but I'll still stick with him. And not as high scoring as you guys think. It'll be like in the 20s, like 27-24 or something. And the Saints will pull out a close one. Because KC kind of coasting. I think they still know that. They don't really need to win out. They can still get the home field advantage, and they'll still rev it up for the Super Bowl run. So I'm going with the Saints, 27-24.
All right, it absolutely could happen, John. So we shall see. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Always good to see those two, you know, kind of Cadillac teams play against each other. And then as fun as that'll be, senior, I think we should talk about the Pats, right? We have Pats at Dolphins. Going to be a little, I mean, definitely playoff implications there on one side of the ball. And could be a little bit of a slobber knocker, right? You have the teacher versus the student. You have Belichick against a rookie quarterback who's been playing pretty well. You have the Patriots just trying to find some way to move the ball. How do you see this one going, senior?
Yeah, I see it as a low-scoring game. I don't see Tua lighting up the Pats, that's for sure. Low-scoring game, but Miami's defense is really good. And I think they're good enough to slow down the Pats' running game. And much as I love my Pats, I see 20-13 Dolphins win. Just don't have enough. To beat a team with a good defense is really hard for the Pats. It's really hard because they're going to have all kinds of trouble scoring points. So and that's the way I see it. We're just going to have too much trouble scoring on their defense, and Miami will be able to get just enough done on offense to get the win. You know, if the Pats will have to pull some to win the game, they have a path to victory. To win the game, they're going to have to really play well on the special teams. Get a couple of big returns, maybe get some turnovers. That's their path to victory. Get out in front. But I think it's a long shot. I think Miami's defense is very good, and the Pats' offense is going to have all kind of problems.
Miami does have some injuries on offense that are, you know, like Parker killed the Patriots last year, and he may not play, and Gesicki's not playing.
It looks like he's playing. Gesicki's not playing, but Parker is. But yeah, he's been playing a lot of weeks lately, and he's not the same Devontae Parker. I agree. Their passing game is nothing great. I just think they'll have just enough. You know, they're just a little bit. You know, they're two teams that are going to have trouble scoring points, but they're just a little better.
They are better on offense. I mean, I think I'm gonna go with the Patriots. Just I'm not gonna pick against Bill against a rookie. I mean, he shot out Herbert, and that offense has been quite a bit better than Miami's. So I'm gonna say Bill's gonna have the game plan. It's gonna be boring as hell, and the Patriots are gonna win Super Bowl, like Rams Super Bowl type of victory, 16-13, something like that. John, you got to break the tie.
Ah, you stole my thunder. I always bet on Bill versus a first-timer versus a quarterback. Always bet on Bill. even though it's hard to believe that if they win, that'll be a sweep for the Pats because they beat the Dolphins the first game of the season. And but the Dolphins, no running game, and that'll be the way to get to the Pats. You saw Cam Akers tore them up last week. So for Tua to sling it 35, 40 times, that's going to be a bad mix. So always bet on Bill versus a first-time QB. Pats in a, like I said, a slobber knocker, 19-17 or something like that.
Beautiful. Sounds good. I hope you guys are right.
Thanks, Senior. The last time you picked against him was the Chargers game, so it could be a trend.
There you go.
So another game with playoff implications, we have the Seahawks traveling to the Washington football team. It was came out today. Dwayne Haskins will be starting that game. The football team coming off a win 23-15 versus the 49ers, where the defense played well. Chase Young looks like a real young superstar. Haskins played a lot in that game, and he didn't completely kill them. He wasn't great. Lilo, I think, likes maybe doesn't like Dwayne Haskins. That's all right. We'll get through it. And the Seahawks, kind of a nothing game. They just took care of business against the hapless, pathetic New York Jets in a game that was over at halftime. So, John, real interesting game here because you have two very different teams, right? And it's very similar to Seattle and the Giants in that you have the Seattle high-flying offensive team against the Washington football team, who are really going to try to take the air out of the ball, especially with the injuries they have on offense with Smith and Antonio Gibson being out. Do you think they have enough weaponry to hang and win this game, or is Seattle just going to be too much?
They're going to have to steal the Giants' game plan from 2 weeks ago and win an ugly one, a 19-17 burger or something like that. But I don't see it, though. Although I am impressed. I wish they weren't in the same division as the Giants, but I love that the WFD, really total domination with the Chase Young just looks like he's going to be a 10-year-old pro, a monster. And they're going to be able to build around that front four and have great things, but definitely not a Haskins fans. Even in that game, you saw from what little I saw, there was one of the passes actually went through two 49ers defenders' hands, which would have been a huge turnover, which would have spoiled their win versus the 49ers. Just I have no faith in Haskins whatsoever, so I'll go with Seattle to pull out a close one. But definitely very impressed with WFD's defense.
They have no faith in him either, in Haskins. I mean, he wasn't even active when they were healthy, right? So he's a young quarterback. You don't do that unless they know they're kind of ruining him mentally, unless they know they're going to move on from him. So he won't be on the team next year, most likely, unless he leads them on some kind of miracle run here, which I doubt. I'm with you, John. I think it'll be tight, and I really like the job that coach has done over in Washington. I mean,
Rivera. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's because on paper they look like a 2-14 team or something, and that
defense, that front four is special. That,
really good. Yeah, really good.
That's an elite front four. So
that's the kind of thing that's given Seattle problems. So you can definitely see a path to victory here. I just don't think the Seattle defense is playing a little bit better. So I just don't think the WFT is going to be able to score enough points with Haskins playing quarterback. But I think they'll only give up, 17-20. But I think that'll probably be enough. Seahawks.
Well, one thing, if you want to win, the Washington football team's way of winning with defense, one thing you can't be doing is turning the ball over, right? And that's the one, as much as Alex Smith is very limited, he protects the ball, and Haskins doesn't. So that really makes it hard to beat it, especially a good team like Seattle. I just don't see them beating him with Haskins at quarterback. He turns the ball over a couple of times, and you just can't do that. as good as your defense is, you can't be, you don't want to be putting them in bad positions and keeping them on the field and giving a team like Russell and Seattle short fields. Defense can only do so much to carry you. You got to have some support from the offense, and turnovers are just a killer when you're that type of team that's not going to score a lot of points. And yeah, Chase Young maybe looks like he should have been the number one pick in the draft. I know you got to take quarterbacks, and we're saying Herbert, but Chase Young's starting to show you how special he is. I mean, the front four is really good, but he is really, really a special football player. I saw it in college. I tend to watch Ohio State a lot last year because I really like Justin Fields, and he's really special and starting to show. You got to respect that defense, but they don't need a quarterback that turns the ball over. That's just a killer. So I got to like Seattle in the game.
All right. So clean sweep, which, as everybody knows, when we clean sweep a close game, our listeners really should go the other way. So load up on that Washington money line, folks. Haskins is going to play a clean game. No turnovers. Oh, boy. All right, guys. You know, as we get late in the season, this happens every year where there's only really a few games that really matter. And, I mean, to me, we've covered them. John, Senior, anything else you'd like to talk about before we say sayonara?
Okay, I'll ask a question. This is nothing prepared. This is just off the cuff. Okay, the AFC, obviously we like the Chiefs, right? Who's the number two team now? I mean, we would have been saying the Steelers.
Do we Titans. Still see the Steelers? Titans. About Titans.
Okay, I'll say Buffalo. Josh is playing so well. If their defense plays decent, I'm going to say Buffalo. I mean, they made a good statement against the Steelers, too. The
yeah.
Titans is legit. And they have Cleveland and the Ravens are both playing good. I mean, the AFC is a real fun, really strong, the stronger conference at the top.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, Senior. We didn't discuss Buffalo that much, but really got to give credit to Diggs. He cried his way, you know, he diva'd his way out of Minnesota, which I don't like. But I'll give everybody one chance. He backed it up this year with the way he's playing in Buffalo.
Well, to step up in a big game like that, too. I mean, he won them that game, and that was the biggest game of the season. I mean, he was incredible. I mean, he just dusted those corners the whole game long. Like, you got to give credit when somebody rises in prime time, yes, biggest game of the season like that. He's not Alex Rodriguez, you know, hitting two home runs when you're up 14-0, right? Like, it's, and you know, choking and being invisible when it really matters. And Odell was, I mean, not to pile on to poor Odell, but Odell was kind of like that too. Like, came up big when it mattered the least. And I think what Diggs, I mean, he really, you know, he's a great player, but he really even kicked it up a notch in that game, and he won that game for them. And that was the biggest game in the franchises, you know, for the last 10 years, probably.
But if you think back on that game, the first four or five Buffalo possessions, the Steelers defense was flying all over the place. I'm saying these guys are playing phenomenal, but then their offense couldn't do anything. And the big turning point was that pick six.
Yep.
I think, you know, where the defense is playing their asses off, and okay, at least we're ahead 3-0. And then the offense gives away a touchdown and you're behind 7-3. And from that point on, yeah, Diggs stepped up and the Buffalo offense, and all of a sudden Allen looked better and the Buffalo offense got going. But I think that was kind of a discouraging thing for that Steeler defense. They didn't play as well after that.
Some of it's on Tomlin, I think. And I mean, I get why he did it, but Deontay Johnson's the best player on that offense. And I
give
mean,
him some
they were,
he dropped but he, so many pulled, passes. That's a weakness.
He dropped two passes at the beginning and he pulled him. He didn't play him the whole rest of the half.
Yeah, you have to,
and
you
I know
have
Dave to, Washington yeah. caught a touchdown, but I mean, that's a kid that where they give him those screen passes and stuff. And he always can make things happen. I get why he did it, but that the offense is not good enough to be able to sit him. I mean, you kind of just got to deal with the drops.
Yeah. The thing is, it's not like it was an isolated event, him dropping those two. I mean, this has been a pattern over a number of weeks now. I mean, I agree, he's a real talented kid. But boy, oh boy, you got to catch the ball. It's their receiving core in general, but he's the one that's the most guilty of. He's dynamic, but he's, talk about trick or treat. He drops a lot of balls.
Yeah, their offense is too one-dimensional. Bang with those 7 to 10 yard outs 40, 50 times. No running game whatsoever. He keeps throwing those short outs. Eventually, the defense is going to read one, and
that's what happened.
And they got a beat on one, and that was it.
Yeah, and then Diggs and Josh Allen got going. And yep. Diggs thing too. Talk about the ultimate trade that helped both teams. You hear some of those in sports sometimes. This was the ultimate one, right? Diggs and then Minnesota got Justin Jefferson. I mean, probably couldn't have worked out better for both teams. Really, you know, that's
two teams he's going to be
walking away really happy about a trade. Both teams. That's rare. That's rare that a trade is a real positive for both teams.
Absolutely. So Steelers and Cincy should be a get right week for them, right? Every time I say this, the team loses. But tough to see Cincy hanging in that one, right? After when you lose 30-7 to the Cowboys, you're probably not much of a team, right?
Yeah, the only thing that was making them competitive was that Burrow was playing well with those receivers. And they didn't have anything close to an adequate replacement for him when he went down. Their defense has been terrible all year. They're a really bad team. Yeah, the Steelers don't get right against them. They have big problems. They're certainly going to get right. But I still don't rank them number two right now. I'm still going Buffalo. Johnny's going Tennessee. Who do you rank number two in the AFC, Cowboy? It's an interesting thing.
Based on that performance, I think I got to agree with you, Senior. As I'm doing it right now, Buffalo. If you're asking me who I think would have the best chance to beat the Chiefs in a playoff game, I think it's Henry. I think it's the Titans.
Yeah,
just kind of matchup wise. I mean, he can win the game. He's like one of the few guys in the league who can really win the game by himself.
And yeah, he can keep Mahomes on the sidelines with the running game.
The down low big three, Henry. Point. Henry Tannehill and AJ Brown, the downhill.
Yeah, and Corey Davis is really good too, but their defense is very good.
The Chiefs would score a lot of points on them when they got on the field. They would have trouble stopping them. But yeah, I know they're our division rival, but I got to give respect to Buffalo. They really look like a good football team, especially offensively.
Yeah, well, Allen. I mean, you couldn't draw it up better, right? If you're drafting a kid like that, accuracy issues, all the talent in the world, but doesn't small school. That jump he's made in accuracy from year two to year three is just amazing. I mean, if he's a 70% passer, he's one of the three best quarterbacks in the NFL with everything else he brings. He's got the biggest arm in the league. Andy's a great runner. If he can put the ball on the money, I mean, watch out. I mean, that's a.
Yeah, it's not just accuracy that he's improved on. He's also improved on seeing the field and processing information and making really good decisions. He's developed at a lightning pace because he was just raw talent 2 years ago, and he wasn't a quarterback. Now he's all that raw talent, and he's a quarterback.
Completely agree. Anything else you guys want to touch on? We're at 58 minutes. It's pretty good. The listeners appreciate it when we keep it to under an hour. We lost Ryder about halfway through. The excitement from it's almost like sugar high, right? He got so cranked up talking about the Cardinals that he just crashed out. Oh, here he is. He's back. He woke up for the exit. So, everybody, enjoy this week's games. As Senior alluded to, Saturday we got two games. Sunday we have a bunch of games. Sunday night we have a good game. And Monday night, if you're a gambler, that's about the only reason to watch that game. If you're trying to make up your losses from the previous games, you know, put some money on it. That way you're not bored to death. But, you know, maybe go with the under with the way the Steelers offense is. but for Mr. D'Amato, for Bears superfan Cowboy Senior, and for my main man Ryder, I'm the Cowboy, and I'm out of here. Enjoy the games, everyone.
Stay safe.